Hey guys, welcome to 2020 and welcome to the 11th season of Interviews with the Haunting Masters. I want to run something by you. I've been considering now for a couple of seasons to change the name of Interviews with the Haunting Masters. Not the format, not what we do or how we do it, but just change the name to Days in the Wild to match my old TV show and my guide services, Days in the Wild Outfitters, just so it's all concise, and for one. And number two, I got feedback that, you know, over the years that people think my the title of the show is a little pretentious, like, oh, you know, this guy thinks he's a haunting master. And lastly, because Interviews with the Haunting Masters is quite long and a little hard to market, Days in the Wild is a little bit easier. And again, like it's like I said, it matches everything else. So like to hear what you think. Like to hear from all the fans and all the guys that have been guys and girls that have been listening to the podcast, and you know, what you think, if I should change the name or not. So I'm gonna put up a little survey page on johnstallone.me, and I'd love to hear back from you. So without further ado, we're going to roll into this next episode, and it's brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Thanks. Hi, welcome to Interviews with the Haunting Masters, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today, we actually have Robert Hanneman back on with us from Hunting Fool, and we are going to just do a year-end recap with him. He had quite the season this year with his family, knocking down a bunch of the great animals and just having excellent success and fun out in the field. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much, bud. How are you been?
Good, good.
Actually, just got back from your state here about a week ago. Christmas in Arizona. I can't beat that.
Hell yeah. It was a little rainy, but other than that, the weather is always nicer here than pretty much everywhere else, except for Florida.
That is true.
My in-laws are here from Florida right now visiting. They live in Southern Florida, and they're complaining how cold it is. Like, come on, man. It's 56 degrees. It's not cold.
No, it was awesome. No, it kind of wrapped up our season. I mean, this year, well, it was one of those years, you know, you talk to people and they're always like, you know, what if I draw too many tags? What if I draw too many tags? I don't want to apply for too many tags. And I always tell them, I'm like, oh, don't worry about that. I apply for more tags than anyone, and I never draw too many. Usually, you know, one or two, three great tags. And, you know, this year, all my kids were able to apply. My 14-year-old had been applying. My 12-year-old had been applying. And he was 10, but now he's 11. My youngest boy, Coulter, you know, has been applying. And I shot for the moon everywhere like I usually do. And when the draw results came out, I was literally just trying to figure out how I could accomplish all these hunts in one year.
Oh man, I had that once in my life so far, where I had a bunch of tags, and I was like, I don't know how many. I actually had to give away some, or not use them, or burn them, or whatever. It was only once though.
Nope, and I did do that. You know, when the first draw results came out back in February, me and a buddy Calvin Halliday both drew Alaska moose tags. And nice. So I kind of blocked out all of September and was like, oh, we're going to be gone. And then, you know, just, you know, kind of shooting for the moon for some other stuff. And when the tag started coming out, we literally gave up our moose tags. You know, he was in the same boat. He had too many hunts to guide, and I had too many hunts, and how it ended up being crazy. But, you know, with me personally, I drew the Alaska moose tag. I drew a Wyoming tag that it was like a 3-point unit. I kind of knew I would draw. I drew a Colorado deer tag in the third season, which was a 1-point unit. I knew I would draw. And other than that, I drew a Montana antelope and had some general Idaho and Montana tags. So I really didn't draw anything other than the moose tag that, you know, kind of surprised me. So it was kind of a normal year for me, but my wife drew a Montana mountain goat tag.
Wow.
So that instantly kind of put the little, like, we got to really get rid of the moose tag. And then, you know, my oldest boy, who's 14, ended up with an Arizona desert sheep tag.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was probably the best tag we drew. And then he also ended up with a Colorado four season tag and a Montana antelope tag.
The
And
lottery.
the, oh, it was. Yeah. And then he drew a good mule deer tag in Montana. And then my 12-year-old drew a bull elk tag in Idaho. And then he drew a bull elk tag in Montana. And these are limited entry tags, not your general, because we live in Montana. And then antelope. And then my 10-year-old, who had never killed anything, his first year hunting, he drew an elk tag in Idaho. So I was looking at the calendar, and like instantly called the school and was like, how many days can these kids miss before they fail? But it turned into an amazing year. But a little bit of stress and a little bit of everything kind of in between. But man, we were lucky. So that first, I went to Idaho and got lucky and shot a real nice 6-point bull with my bow, kind of started the year off. And then my wife's goat hunt was the next hunt up. And I did some preseason scouting and we backpacked into an alpine lake. And after 2 days, ended up finding a great billy, and she made an amazing shot on it, and we were able to harvest that. And I've been part of probably, I want to say 20 to 30 goat hunts in my life, and I can honestly say the goat she killed in Montana was the biggest goat I've been able to be part of. So my wife put me to shame with her goat and most of my other hunting buddies. So it was kind of was amazing for her to kill such a giant billy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then after that, it just the wheels kind of came off. And I'm going to give you some life advice, and I wish someone would give me this. Never shoot 2 6-point bulls in the same morning when you're backpacked in with a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old and yourself.
That's for sure. That's great.
Oh, so yeah, we were in Idaho and backpacked in opening day, scouted before, and at daylight, we're on a really nice 6-point, and my 10-year-old shot it and ran up to it and, dropped the guts out of it and knew there was a good bull bedded, hopefully on the other side that we'd left, and literally, ran across the ridge about 1 mile and ended up shooting that bull. My 12-year-old shot it, made a great shot, bedded, killed a great 6-point. And then we proceeded to spend the next 48 hours packing elk meat out.
And you say we, yeah, you probably mean you.
Well,
Because
you can only put so much meat on a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old.
exactly.
Yeah, but they're kind of like mules from what I found out. Like,
Yeah.
if you put too much, they just lay down and give up. But if you don't put enough on, they're like bouncing around and playing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I couldn't find that perfect weight. So, but they'll be bigger next year. And like I said, I'm excited in a couple of years they can repay the favor. But I was pretty beat up after 2 days of packing elk.
I bet, man.
Yeah, so
That
it
sounds
was
like
awesome. Yeah, I mean, October 1st, it was a draw tag in Idaho. The bulls were still pushing cows. They were screaming. Boys made great shots. And man, it was probably one of the more enjoyable hunts I've been on. But it's kind of that one thing, like, do you not shoot a bull and hope 2 or 3 days later that no other hunters have kind of found the little basin you're in and kill them? So I went back and forth with it. Luckily, it was cold enough at night where I knew we can get the bulls up in trees and be fine with the meat, and it all turned out great. But it was definitely a lot of work, that's for sure. Steep country.
Jesus,
Yeah.
no bears in that neighborhood. I mean,
So just black bears, no grizzly bears. We never seen any black bears. We never really even seen any sign. We kind of got lucky. So no, yeah, we got them all packed out, and then from there, we made a blitz trip to Colorado. I backpacked in with a buddy and got lucky and killed a 3-point. And I laugh because I never thought I'd shoot a 3-point, but it's just one of those cool old regressed bucks. Ended up being 34 inches wide, just
I love
kind
big
of,
trees.
oh, it was awesome. Big eye guards, no front forks. I shot him. And me and my cousin had struggled hard in Colorado this year, third season, as most people did. It was a tough year, and we ended up glassing my buck with like three does, And we could tell there was another buck down there, but we couldn't tell how good it was, and made an all-day kind of play on him, and got down there and were able to actually kill both bucks. So, we walked away from Colorado feeling pretty good.
That was during the rut or no?
That was third season during the rut. So then I drove straight to Montana, literally unloaded the deer, washed my clothes, grabbed my oldest boy, and we drove straight back to Colorado from Montana for his four season hunt. And we were hunting a different unit kind of over towards Denver, and didn't see a lot of deer, but we're able to turn up one real old big heavy 4x3, and he made a great shot on him, and we were headed back to Montana for one last trip. So it kind of turned into just a little bit of a kill fest there. Once we got to Montana, we filled a bunch of antelope tags, filled a bunch of deer tags. The boys killed a bunch of great bucks, and my 12-year-old killed another 6-point bull. He's making fun of me because I think I was in my late 20s before I ever killed 2 6-point bulls in 1 year, and he did it when he was 12. So he's kind of walking around thinking he's pretty cool. But I told him, I said, I can't wait till you turn 16 and start hunting on your own. Then we'll see how good you are.
Exactly.
No, but it was awesome. We kind of wrapped up everything up north. We had more meat than we needed to do than we could knew what to do with. So luckily we had a lot of good friends that were willing to take some elk, and then we just kind of really kind of buckled down for Arizona. I mean, we still have an Oryx tag that the 12-year-old drew, but that's not till February down in New Mexico. But the sheep hunt was one I was kind of a little more intimidated on. I mean, it's not too often that sheep tags come along. It was in a really tough unit down there on the Mexico border. A unit in the Huntful magazine, we even say it's one of the toughest units in the state. Most hunters are hunting, 10 to plus days, and just very few sheep, and lots of country and lots of illegals. So it was one of those where we ended up just going with me and my son and my father-in-law, and then Brady from the Huntful came down to kind of film the hunt and take pictures and document it. So we didn't have a big team like most guys do on sheep hunts, and
Yeah, usually there's 40 people out there.
I know it's I was yeah, most sheep hunts are that way, and it was kind of weird, just being at such a small group and just having fun. But I mean, with Arizona, you got the Mexicanas and you got the Nelsons, and this was down in the Mexicana area, and I'd never hunted those before. I've hunted a ton of Nelsons like in Nevada and stuff with other hunters, but it was just kind of, you don't know what to expect with size of horns and size of sheep and everything else. So we just went down there and kind of had some good intel from some guys that hunt the area and the before us, and decided we'd just go down and try to find the best ram we could. And that was kind of what we did. As I can honestly say, I've never been anywhere there's been so many different types of cactus.
Yeah, crazy.
No, have you ever spent time down in that country along the border?
I have, yes.
It's the sheep never hit water. They're out there on barrel cactus, and so got lucky and found the sheep typically rut in the summer, but there was a ewe there that must have been in heat because there was three different rams we found really chasing her around, and looked over the best ram and kind of decided if it was a sheep my son wanted to kill. And we looked at it and he said he'd be super happy with it, and where he was nowhere that was easy. I mean, we were glassing him from 2 miles away at the end of a road. So, we had to, it was an all day affair to get in there, gain a ton of vertical feet, and go through as many jump and choyo patches as I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, there's a lot
And,
of right down there.
oh, it was horrible. I mean, everybody was just full of cactus by the time we were done, and trying to be careful, but ended up getting on that ram at 360 yards. Son made a couple great shots, and I'd looked at him through the spot and scope a lot, and I kind of figured he was in that 14-2 on his bases, maybe 14-4. I was being conservative because they're Nelsons, or they're deserts, they're not Nelsons. They're not Rockies, and but he looked heavy to me, And, on his horns, I thought they were, in that 34, 35. So I thought we were looking at a solid, 160 ram. And when he shot him, I mean, it took us well over an hour just to get to him because of the cliffs and the way the ridge was to recover him. But I was shocked when I walked up on him. Before I even touched him, I knew I was way off on his mass. And I figured I was actually a little long on his horns. But he ended up being 15 and a half on his bases.
Jesus.
Yeah, so for a desert, and it was awesome. And then, like 32 and 31 on the horns, like 163 inch ram, and man, I just couldn't be happier. I mean, just as about as pretty of a desert as you could imagine. No big chips out of him. 7.5 years old, and just kind of more surreal than anything. Sitting up there, with my boy and my father-in-law and Brady, and just able to go in there, have a great time, be successful, not be rushed, and just have a good time. And sheep hunts are so hard to get on, to even invite yourself on. It's not something a guy can do every year, even though we want to. And I was, it was probably the about the specialist hunt I've been on, especially with my boys.
Yeah, that it's something about sheep hunting. It's got a chanting draw to it. There's a certain allure to it, and
Yeah.
it's just it always amazes me how they even live out there.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I seen three coos deer does, and that was the only other alive animal that I seen in that country. I mean, it was just absolutely desolate.
Yeah, it's unreal. The mule deer
Yeah.
there are few and far between, but they're freaking giants too, because they're, it's survival of the fittest. Only
Yep.
the toughest and strongest and biggest, survive. And it's just that it produces that, and I think the mineral content down there, from what I understand, and whatever. But yeah,
No,
it's cool
it's the
place.
kind of place you could find a special deer that's, just old as dirt and giant, and that's the kind of country where you're gonna find deer that don't have names, that aren't ones that everybody's got pictures of. It's just where a buck's drinking out of, an old rock catchment, or I mean, such a cool place. So no, this year was insane. I didn't think I would do it. I mean, I started it like August 31st, helping out on some sheep hunts in Idaho, and then finished it up last week and just got back after Christmas. And we got some lion hunting to do up here in Montana, and then the oryx hunt in New Mexico. But I'm whooped, man. I mean, that was those boys, ran me ragged. And we gave them, that was kind of the thing me and Amy talked about, is like, we only got them for so many years, and let's apply them for tags, and if they draw, let's do everything we can. And I don't know, I might apply them for some harder tags next year, because we were all over the place. But and it was an awesome year. By the time it was done, I think the boys killed, oh man, it was close to a dozen animals between the three of them. So it was special.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
That's
and they were all quality. I mean, all nice, nice bucks, nice antelope. Like, we got lucky. I mean, it was one of those years where everything fell into place, and usually it seems like there can be always a struggle fest at some point in your hunting season, but man, this year everything just fell into place.
awesome. It's been a couple of years since I've had a season like that. I think 2016, 2015, those two seasons. I had like that, just like everything just kind of fell into place. It was nice.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have those once in a while instead of, your traditional suck fest of ups and downs. But
Oh, yeah, I'll take it every chance I get. I'm still waiting to shoot a 200 incher from the hood of my truck one day, but I hope it happens. I've worked my guts out my whole life, and I want to be driving down the road, and I want to shoot a big buck off the side of the road one point in my life.
exactly, a nice roadside 200.
Yep, that would be awesome. No. It was a good year. What about you, bud? Were you as busy this year as normal?
No, I've actually dialed back, as well as my own personal hunting anyway. I dialed back quite a bit. Last year and this year, I hunted, I would say, half the days that I normally hunt. For myself anyway, I did quite a bit more guiding. My daughter drew. She was th This year's her first year she could draw tags here in Arizona. So she drew a coos deer tag, And then I took her prior to that. I took her pig hunting, and
Nice.
she got a pig with a crossbow, and then she shot a pretty nice coos buck, like a mid-80s buck, in the early October season. She was super happy with it. It was nice shot too, 350 yards. I was pretty impressed with her. She
Oh, that's awesome.
shooting a gun she'd never shot before and was afraid to shoot, kind of. The gun that she normally shoots is was her grandfather's gun. It was a 6.5 Creedmoor that I had built for him, and she shoots it very well. But the zero got screwed up on it, so I gave her my 6.5, and the Picatinny rail was loose on it. And I was like, "Oh
Oh.
shit!" I'm like, "Well, babe, you're gonna have to shoot the, you're gonna shoot, have to shoot Daddy's 300. You know, it's either that or we're gonna shoot a 22 250, and that's probably not what we want to do.
Yeah.
Not to mention she can't barely carry that gun. My 22 250 is like 16 pounds. It's so freaking, it's a boat anchor.
Sounds like a
Anyways,
great coyote gun.
it is. I mean, it's a tack driver, but it's just not fun to pack around the mountains. So yeah, she made a great shot, and my buddy Shane was with me to help me pack it out. And at the when we got down to the bottom, her cousin, same age as her, was down there waiting to greet her. And it was kind of fun. It was just a nice experience all the way around. So, and I was super proud of her and happy because she showed a lot of grit. I mean, it was really only a one day hunt. We went out one day before. And unfortunately, she shot one that we could not recover. She had
No.
hit him far back, and then 2 days later, I took her mom out. We killed one, and then the very next day, I took her out of school early, and we went out that afternoon, and that's when we killed that buck. So.
Nice. Nope, is she hooked for life now, or, is
I
she?
hope so. I don't know. It's she's I get mixed reviews because now she's got a javelina tag coming up. A couple days here, archery javelina tag, and she has a youth tag. She's got both, so
Nice.
she could go kill one with a bow or wait till the 20th, I think, and again kill one with a rifle if she wants. But like she's like sort of happy about it, but not showing a bunch of like. Because I'm trying to get her to practice with the bow more, and like every time I ask her to practice with the bow, she's giving me a little bit of like, I'm like, oh, I'm like, I don't want to force you, but if you want to do this, I can't let you go out there shooting the way you're shooting. You need to get better.
Yeah. A
I can't.
trick I've used for my boys, sometimes they'll be lazy and not want to practice, is I'll make a game of it and I'll go blow up little balloons, that are, say 2 or 3 inches, and I'll take them back to like 20 or 30 yards and make a competition out of it. And then they're all about, because it's a competition now, but I mean, they have brothers too, but it's just more fun to watch them pop it and stuff like that. So I don't know. I've done everything I can to, same with, shooting long range, blowing up balloons or shooting milk jugs, anything that makes a big, other than just a notch in a paper. I don't know. At least with my boys, it's definitely been, more of a motivator. They'll be like, "Hey, let's go shoot." And I'll be like, "Okay." And they're like, "Where are the balloons?" And I'm like, "What? We don't need balloons every time." But they like that kind of competition and, I don't know, more enjoyable seeing something happen when you hit it.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I got her a 3D javelina target as one of her gifts for Christmas. It was like
Oh, nice.
so I thought maybe like she would it would be better. It's like so she shot at that this morning, which was kind of cool. So and I'm just trying to get her to shoot like five, six arrows a day. Nothing crazy. I don't want to like
Yeah.
bombard her with stuff just to kind of get it so it becomes a little bit more automatic.
Yep.
I mean, because like as well as I do, even if you're good in the backyard on a target, everything goes falls apart on you when you're in the field and in the moment of truth. So,
No, especially with a bow, because did it move? Is it still at 20? Is it 25? Is it 15? There's so much more that goes on with kids with a bow. No, I get it.
yeah. I wish Arizona would allow you to use a crossbow. I mean, you can if you got a medical condition, but
Yep.
so unfortunately, I mean, well, fortunately, she doesn't have a medical condition, but unfortunately, they don't allow them to use it. But I thought it would be, if they had like an age, from 10 to 14 or some 10 to 15,
Yeah.
just because they're still young at that age where they may or may not be able to draw that. 30 pounds, I think. Yeah, it's 30 pounds. Anything deer size and less, so like deer and javelina are 30 pounds, but I think for elk it's got to be 40.
Yeah. No, and I mean, for kids especially, I'm not like a javelina, I know when you start getting into deer and elk, some guys don't want to see crossbows out there, and I understand that. But on javelina, especially for kids, I mean, it should be kind of whatever they can use to make the hunt enjoyable or have them have a good experience.
Yeah. Well, you could put us all. Here's the thing. This is what I did for her last year. Not her, but her cousin last year. She came on the hunt. I put them in for the ham season. So the ham season's handgun archery muzzle loader, but you can use a crossbow because
Sure.
it only has to be lesser of the weapon than the highest weapon, which in the muzzle loader is higher than, I guess, considered higher than crossbows.
Crossbow.
Yeah. Or of course, during the general season they can use crossbow too,
Yeah.
but yeah. So anyway. Cool, man. It sounds like you had a freaking amazing year, and I'm sure the boys will remember all that till the day they die, and something to cherish and experience.
No, it was one of those things where you never anticipate it turning out this well, and luckily working for the hunt and full, I'm working a kind of job where I can take a lot of time off during hunting season, and that's what I did, and a lot of that, all those hunts we did, that's just research for the next guy that draws them. So no, we had an amazing time. Like I said, any of your guys want to take a look at our 2019 season, Instagram's probably the best way for them to see all the kill pictures of what my family put away this year, which still just amazes me. But they can check me out on Instagram. It's just Robert underscore Hanneman, Hanneman. And then, I don't post a lot, but I post every time we shoot something. So there's quite a bit from the fall of 2019 on there.
Awesome. Well, cool, bro. Thank you for coming on and sharing stories with us. I look forward to seeing what 2020 brings, and I'm sure you and I will talk between now and then, and we'll get things figured out for some tags, and maybe we'll see a couple more animals down on the ground.
Hope so. All right, bud. Well, good luck on that javelina hunt, and we'll catch up to you shortly.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks, bud.